here on The Scoop, and we're going to talk a little NHL hockey, plus plenty of other topics with our next guest. He is a writer for CBS Sports and co-host of the Listen to Brunch podcast. We're joined now by Pete Blackburn. Pete, thanks so much for joining The Scoop today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, the NHL trade deadline earlier this week, and it was certainly a busy one. There were a lot of teams that were looking to try to solidify their spots in the East or Western Conference standings. A couple of teams that decided to blow it up. But let's just start off with some discussion of the trade deadline. And first, let's go with maybe the biggest trade that we saw from the deadline, the one that surprised you the most.
Yeah, I mean, I think the McDonough deal to Tampa was the biggest and probably the biggest win. I really like that deal for Tampa. They load up for a run, and you know they're going for it as they should. And you know, I think that it didn't cost them too much. I mean, you obviously have to pay a fair price when you're getting a good player. They got two good players, and they still paid a pretty fair price. So I really like that deal. I also like the deal for Winnipeg bringing in Paul Stastny. I think that they got a great value there. Same thing with Pittsburgh and adding Derek Brassard. I mean, I think that one of the biggest things that you can do at the deadline, if you're a good team, is really improve and solidify your third line. And both Winnipeg and Pittsburgh made huge additions to their depth with third line adds at the deadline. So I give them a lot of credit for that.
The New York Rangers ended up amassing a lot of first round picks. They jettisoned a lot of talent, but you get to the point where it just makes more sense to start over and try to build a young core. It sounds like they're going to be pretty aggressive with those picks. Were you surprised at all to see the Rangers decide that they were going to take a big step back?
No, I mean, they put out an announcement before the trade deadline saying that they were going to blow it up and that they're entering a rebuilding phase. And, you know, to their credit, if you say that you're going to do that, you better follow through and you better get good value for what you're sending out of town. And I think that they were able to do that. So I think that you got to give them commitment for dedicating themselves to the rebuild and executing it pretty well.
Looking over to the Western Conference and being here in Minnesota, we're keeping an eye on the Wild as much as we can. The Wild are in a bit of a weird spot, though. They really don't have the flexibility to do much, and they ended up trading Mike Riley just for the sake of being able to call up players. But even weirder, I think, is where the Chicago Blackhawks are at, and they've really hit a free fall here, and shows that once your top talent starts to decline and you lock them up to these long-term deals, you really don't have the flexibility to do much, and as a result, they're kind of starting to pay the price for that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this league isn't built for sustainability or longevity in terms of success. The Blackhawks are kind of an outlier in that sense, but now it's starting to catch up with them. You know, I did think that it was a win for them to get a first round pick for Ryan Hartman at the deadline. So credit there, but this season certainly hasn't gone to plan for them.
I'm not sure how much of a chance you've had to watch the Wild throughout the year. I'm sure as a fan of the NHL, you've had a chance here and there, but the Wild in a position where they could make the playoffs at 36-20-7. Do you like their chances to be able to stick with the top teams in the West?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that they have they're solid all around, you know, I've been a fan of theirs for a little while in terms of how that roster is constructed, and you know their ability to retain guys, and so you know, I think that I'm rooting for them to make the playoffs this year, and I think that they need to get over the hump before I'm willing to commit anything more than that. So
okay, well, I'll take it that you're rooting for them. I'll consider that a win. Pete, looking at some of the other things going on here throughout the NHL, Boston, the Bruins doing very well. They're third in the Atlantic Division. As we move towards the end of the regular season, what are Boston's chances to be able to contend with some of those top Eastern Conference teams?
Yeah, I think they're good. I think they improved at the deadline. I really like the Rick Nash deal. They gave up a pretty hefty package, but I like the add, and I think that they're still ahead of schedule in terms of their rebuild. This is going to be a tough test for them in the coming weeks because Patrice Bergeron's out of the lineup, and obviously their top line has been one of the most dominant in hockey and has been a huge contributor to their success. So losing Patrice Bergeron is going to be a really tough test for this team, and seeing, you know, if they can maintain without him. So I do like their chances of making some noise, but there are a lot of things that are going to go into it. They're going to need the young kids to keep playing well. They're going to need Tuukka Rask to play well, and that defense is going to need to hold up.
Pete, coming into the season, the Vegas Golden Knights thrown together as an expansion team, and I don't mean to say thrown together. They did get some pretty good players in the expansion draft, but did we expect them to be able to play this well this long, currently leading the Pacific Division, and they've got 87 points in the Western Conference, which is tied for the most. Did we expect them to be able to sustain this kind of success?
Absolutely not. I was waiting for it to fall off in the first half of the year. You know, I think that if they lost every game from here on out till the end of the season, they would still surpass my expectations. You know, 87 points is, you know, nothing to sneeze at, especially in your first year of existence. So, you know, they've been a complete shock. And, you know, I think that sort of plays into, you know, not to jump around to a different piece of news, but, you know, Seattle's expansion bid basically kicked off today with their season ticket sales, and you know they absolutely crushed it. They sold more than 25,000 deposits, and I think that you can give a little credit to the Golden Knights for that, because you know if you're Seattle, you look at you know the fact that a team is a contender in its very first year of existence. You know that's something they get excited about if you're a prospective city.
Yeah, you mentioned Seattle's expansion and just eye-popping numbers that they were able to get with their season ticket drive. In terms of this process, looks like they've already reached a deal with the city of Seattle to renovate Key Arena to try to turn it into a viable option for them to have a franchise. How close are we getting to the likelihood of this happening?
I think today was a huge, huge step. I mean, it's undeniable the interest that city has. You know, to compare, for reference, I mean, the Golden Knights took 2 months to sell 9,000 tickets, ticket deposits, and Seattle was able to do or surpass that and hit their goal of 10,000 in 12 minutes. So that's insane. And, you know, I think that it's going to be very hard. Obviously, the interest is mutual. The NHL wants Seattle. Seattle wants the NHL. It's almost seems foregone that's going to happen. And I think that it's going to be a good thing for the league.
Talking with Pete Blackburn of CBS Sports, and I wanted to make sure to talk a little Olympics here with you today, Pete, as well. The women's ice hockey team getting the gold medal against Canada here this year. And I know you did a write-up on CBSSports.com about just the rise that they've had to be able to get to this point. And certainly looking at it, what an incredible run for the women's hockey team to be able to come away with the gold medal.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at how this year kind of played out for that women's team, back last spring, they were on the verge of boycotting a major international tournament in the in you know the World Championships because they were fighting for equitable support, and they, at that point they were only making $6,000 every 4 years. They'd make a $1,000 stipend for a 6 month period during Olympic years, and you know they wanted fair and equitable support from USA Hockey at that time. And so they were willing to sit out the World Championships as the reigning gold medal winners there. And, you know, it came down to the wire, and there was a little bit of pushback from USA Hockey, but they won that battle. And now I think that they're making making at least $70,000 a year now with bonuses for performance beyond that. So They got it done before the World Championship. They went on to win gold at the World Championships, and then, you know, fast forward to last week, they win gold at the Olympics, which was huge because it was the third straight gold medal game that they'd been in against Canada, and Canada had won the previous two. And, you know, there's a senior leadership group on this women's team, and they just hadn't been able to get it done, no matter how close they got at the Olympic level. So it really felt like a really fitting exclamation point on a fantastic year for those women in their battle.
Not to be outdone, but a triumph for the men's curling team as well. And curling, I think the sport that is most likely to have people watching say, you know, if I gave it a week or two of practice, I could probably do that, which is far from the truth. It's incredibly difficult from what I've seen, but they were able to exercise some past demons and come away with the gold medal as well.
Yeah, I think that you're not far off in your assessment. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I could do that if you give me a year. but I think that, you know, that sport's so funny to me because not only the athletes, a lot of them look like, you know, everyman athletes. Like, you don't have to be in incredible shape to be a curler, or at least, you know, it doesn't look like you have to be in incredible shape to be a curler. But it's also one of those sports that you turn it on and you're like, what the heck is this? And you kind of laugh at it. And then 15 minutes later, you're completely enthralled and you're 100% invested in curling and you're ready to be a curling super fan. So it was definitely a weird experience for me to wake up on a Sunday morning and check my phone and just get videos from a bunch of my friends at the bar at like 2 a.m. With curling on every TV at the bar and everybody screaming USA. So I think that was up there with one of the coolest moments from this year's Olympics.
Pete, with you being in the Boston area and covering all the Boston sports, of course, wanted to talk a little Red Sox as well. And ever since David Ortiz went to Boston, I've kind of followed them as well. So J.D. Martinez, it didn't look like it was going to get done. Then it got done, but there were a little bit of hammering out the arrangements with the contract. But it looks like the Red Sox finally got the desperately needed bat for the middle of their lineup.
Yeah, they certainly did. And you know, I think that J.D. Martinez is going to make them a better, more dangerous team. But I also felt like the Red Sox were in a pretty good position, even if they didn't get that signing. I'm not as down on them as a lot of people seem to be after last year's finish. I mean, they still won the AL East. Of course, the Yankees made big time addition in Stanton over the winter. But you know, a lot of guys on the Sox had down years last year. David Price was hurt for most of the year and came back out of the bullpen. So you know, I still think that this team has a really good shot of making a World Series run. And I think that I probably would have had that same thought even if Martinez ended up, you know, going somewhere else. But I do think that he helps them for sure.
Is there an over under you'd like to set on the number of times that Stanton and Judge will be walked this year to avoid having to pitch to them at Yankee Stadium?
Approximately 1 million.
I think that's pretty accurate. That combo is going to be ridiculous this year, but there are pitchers that can certainly get them out. So we'll just have to wait and see the long 162 game schedule coming up here right around the beginning of April. So plenty of chance for people to figure out how to get those two out. And who knows, we could see the Yankees finish like fourth, and I would certainly be okay with that.
As much as it pains me to see the Yankees have any glimmer of hope, I do think it is good for baseball, and it's good for both these cities when there's the rivalry seems to be heating up, and you know, there's you know, intense competition between the two teams. You know, it's been a while since like the early 2000s when, you know, that was really at its peak of hatred, but now we're getting back to that, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see if there's any sort of incidents like there have been in the past years with A-Rod trying to charge the mound and being held back by Jason Varitek, and those were some of the glory days of that rivalry. But I'm hopeful, like you are, that that will come back here within the next couple of seasons. Pete, I would be I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Listen to Brunch. I'm certainly a fan of the podcast and just the way that you guys go about tackling some of the various things that happen throughout throughout the world of entertainment. So just give me kind of a summary for the listeners here of what you guys attempt to do with Listen to Brunch.
We're very neurotic pop culture consumers, so we have a lot of fun over analyzing movies and TV and just, you know, having some fun with it. And we also, one of our big goals is kind of to smash down the wall of masculinity that kind of, especially because we're in sports, whereas like there's such a masculine culture that prevents people from really expressing how they feel about pop culture and other things like that. So we kind of just try to break that down, and, you know, be true to ourselves as guys who just really don't take themselves too seriously. So it's a fun time. It gets weird, but it's fun.
Absolutely. Pete, before we let you go, if listeners are curious to find some of your work on CBS Sports, how can they do so?
You can just go to CBS Sports. Usually if you head to the NHL page, you'll see some of the stuff that I've written there. But I'm kind of all over the site in terms of content and what I cover. So if you just find something that I wrote and then click my name on the byline, you'll see it'll bring you to my author page and you can see the entire collection.
Outstanding. Pete, great stuff today. This was a lot of fun. We'll have to definitely do it again here in the near future.
Absolutely.
Pete Blackburn of CBS Sports joining the scoop here today to talk a little NHL trade deadline, also some great stuff on the Winter Olympics with the women's hockey team taking home the gold and also the men's curling team taking home the gold. And, of course, with him being in the Boston area, couldn't go without talking about the Red Sox a little bit as well.